World Vision is a global Christian relief organization that made headlines last month by announcing a rule change for U.S.-based employees. In deciding to accept persons in same-sex marriages, the charity's president hoped to sidestep the ongoing culture wars and to focus on its vital mission. But the furor that followed the announcement in some evangelical quarters highlights just how much of a powder keg the issue continues to be for some people. Days later, World Vision reversed its decision after the loss of what some estimate as $850,000 in pledges being withdrawn. In the midst of the uproar, a young evangelical leader spoke up with a bold rebuke to those who would sacrifice starving children in Africa on the altar of the culture wars. Brandon Robertson is that evangelical writer, activist, and speaker. Brandon, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Of the voices taking World Vision's side, yours stood out for me, both because you are an evangelical Christian yourself, and because of the simple eloquence of your words when you concluded by saying, this isn't an issue of political position, this isn't an issue of theological perspective, this is an issue of plain obedience to the words of Jesus. What provoked you the most about the call for World Vision donors to withhold their support?
What really sparked my interest was that I saw a lot of evangelical leaders who I respect greatly coming out and saying things that sounded quite threatening against World Vision. For instance, one of the people I quote, a guy named Trevin Wax, who's a writer for a prominent organization called the Gospel Coalition, he used language like, children will suffer as evangelicals lose trust and withdraw from World Vision. And to me, what it sounded like, what was being said, is that people were going to sacrifice these children, as you said earlier, on the altar of their political views and theological views. That he's basically saying, because World Vision supports something that I personally don't believe in, I'm going to remove my support and cause children to suffer needlessly. And to me and many other millennial evangelicals who watch this unfold, this was just infuriating, gut-wrenching, because as people who claim to follow the rabbi from Nazareth, Jesus Christ, who spent the majority of his time doing acts of justice and condemning the religious elite, I just can't figure out how we've gotten to a point where we care more about our political and theological beliefs than the starving children whom Christ said he is in the midst of. And so it's just very perplexing to me.
Brandon, just so you will know, our listeners know this, I grew up in the Southern Baptist Convention and considered myself an evangelical. In fact, I still do consider myself a form of an evangelical, though not everyone would agree with that. And I ask myself a question repeatedly that I want to ask you. What is it that makes you different as an evangelical from those who went crazy over this decision?
This is part of the organization that I founded called Revangelical. I think that there's a whole generation, my generation, the millennials, are looking at the evangelical faith that we've inherited, and we're seeing it have a long history of people like the religious right, Pat Robertson, the Jerry Falwell, and we see them starting off with a really great vision to be people of good news. But as they developed, we begin to see them, what seems to us as selling out and giving into power and political persuasion so that they can gain a platform, and in so doing, forsaking the core of the gospel of Jesus. And so what makes, I think, me and a lot of people in the millennial generation different is that we're going back and we're reexamining the words of Jesus once again. And what we're becoming convinced of, unfortunately, is that many leaders in the current evangelical system are far from, they don't reflect what Jesus looks like. We've moved from being people of good news to people of Fox News, and many of us are just committed to changing that, to move in a more Christ-like mode of living, move in a mode of living that cares more for the person than for their political persuasion or belief about certain issues. And I think that that's a very hopeful change that's happening, and it's an exciting move of God's Spirit in our generation that's pushing us to really focus more on living like Jesus than upholding positions and theological persuasions. That's where I'm standing on this.
Well, that's well said. I have to ask, do you think, really, there's a path for the evangelical leaders who urge stopping support for World Vision to come around to recognize the truth of what you're saying and actually to consider that maybe they ought to alter what they're saying and change their behavior?
Yeah, and I don't mean to sound pessimistic on this. I doubt that those who are in leadership of evangelicalism right now are going to change their position because they've held them for so long and it's given them a lot of support and a lot of prominence. But the hope is that as our generation is coming up underneath of them and people like Rachel Held Evans, who's a prominent evangelical blogger, as we step up into positions of power and get a voice, the evangelical tide is going to have to change. And so, no, I don't necessarily think that those who are in leadership of evangelicalism are going to change on this issue, unfortunately. But I do think that the pressure that millennial evangelicals are putting on evangelical Christianity, that's going to force us to move in a more Christ-like and hope-filled direction.
Well, I think, too, that from what you've said, that other people can make their own judgments about this, but the reason they're not changing is not faith or religion. It's another set of factors.
It's hard to judge the motives, honestly, and I don't want to say that everybody who's standing in this particular controversy against World Vision is doing it for ulterior motives.
Right.
But I do think there is a real sense that you have to toe the party line, you have to hold the banner that you've been holding for years in order to maintain a position of power and wealth and position within Christianity.
Yeah. What did you feel when you read the news that World Vision gave in to the pressure just days later and changed its decision?
I was, first of all, incredibly disappointed. Just because if you read World Vision statements, the statement that President Richard Stern released, he made it very clear that World Vision wasn't attempting to get into a theological battle.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't endorsing gay marriage, but were recognizing that there are diversity opinions on this matter among Christians. And as an ecumenical organization, they wanted to have an organization that allowed the individual churches of their employees to determine what they believed about homosexuality. And so to see that the religious right really waged a powerful battle against World Vision, the most recent statistics are that 10,000 supporters have walked away from the organization.
Mm.
And to see that, it's understandable why World Vision retracted their statements, but it's incredibly grieving to think that we're willing, once again, to sacrifice our support for children on the altar of political and theological beliefs. 10,000 people, that's just unbelievable to me.
I know that you're aware, study after study shows people, especially young people, increasingly turning off to evangelical Christianity, or at least the stereotype of that that's in vogue now, and describing it as hateful and judgmental and anti-gay. And it's no secret that that is hurting many of the churches that fall within that genre. Would you talk about the premise of what revangelical is?
Yeah, for sure. When I became a Christian at the age of 12, I went straight into fundamentalist Christianity, and from there moved on to a broader version of evangelicalism, more of a megachurch kind of evangelicalism. But in my whole journey of faith, what I began to discover, once again, was that this version of Christianity didn't align with what it said it aligned with. Evangelical literally means people of good news, and yet it didn't sound like very good news. And so a lot of people are leaving evangelicalism altogether, and understandably so. But there's also a large number of us who are committed to saying, we believe that we've gotten some really good things from evangelical Christianity. There's a really good foundation that we can get back to, but there's a lot of baggage on top of evangelicalism that we need to get rid of. A lot of things we've inherited that are anti-Christ and really hindering us from being a force for the common good in the world, a force that shines the light of Jesus in the world. And so there's a lot of us who are coming back around and saying, I want to stand up to be a person of good news. I believe that's important, but I can't do it in the way evangelicalism currently exists. And so we're experimenting with new kinds of organizations, new kinds of churches, new kinds of theology and political activism. And I'm not sure what it's going to look like in 20 years, but there's a lot of momentum behind this and just a lot of force from these disenchanted evangelicals that are really trying to look and live more like Jesus Christ.
Was there a moment that you said, I've got to do something? And if so, what prompted that moment?
Yeah, I think for me, actually, believe it or not, I'm not really into the political world that much, but I was an adamant supporter of John McCain. I cried on the night that Barack Obama got elected because I thought our nation had forsaken Jesus. So that's where I was then. 4 years later, during his second election, I saw how many evangelicals were coming out in very vicious attacks, and we were putting all sorts of issues before the things that it looked like Jesus stood for. And as I began to re-examine the gospel accounts of Jesus' teachings, I began just to see a tremendous congruity between what evangelical leaders were saying and what Jesus was saying. And that really convinced me that I needed to start on a new journey. And I began visiting all kinds of different churches and interacting with all different kinds of people that I were told were evil and heretical. And I began to find that all these people that were supposed to be my enemies actually looked a lot more like Jesus than many of the leaders that I was following. And once that started happening, it was as if you pulled one brick out and the whole wall began to crumble. And from that, I started building a new kind of evangelical faith. And it's been a tremendous journey since then.
I really do admire what you're doing. I know you're aware, because you're obviously a realist, that it's very difficult to change some of the people that you've mentioned. And you said a lot of them will not change. So you have a uphill climb in a very real sense. What gets you up in the morning? What keeps you going? Where do you get your hope?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, obviously, I believe that the person of Jesus and the message of Jesus has power to change our world for the better. That's what motivates everything I do, is I believe that the radical, loving God that's revealed in Jesus is powerful enough to transform our world, to overturn all these injustices that we see around the world, and really make this world what God envisioned it to be. And if I can be a small part of working alongside and through the way of Jesus to do that, that's all I want to give my life to, because I've seen tremendous good come from the way of Jesus, and I've seen tremendous evil. And I want to be one of those who stand for Jesus and with Jesus and following his message and way, and transform the world to make it better than I received it.
Brandon Robertson is a young evangelical writer, activist, and speaker working to build bridges across cultural, theological, and political divides. While pursuing a Master's of Divinity degree from Wesley Theological Seminary, he contributes to Sojourners, Red Letter Christians, and his own website titled Revangelical. You'll find a link to his article, World Vision and the Sad State of Evangelism, on our website, stateofbelief.com. Brandon, I think you bring a terribly important perspective to the world of religion right now, and I thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed my time here.